If you want someone to really remember something, what do? You remind them. And if you really want them to remember, how many times do you remind them?
About 90 times. A lot, right? We want to make sure we remind. How many times does it take to repeat something to become a habit? That's the 90 times. Boy, if you're reminding them 90 times, you want it to be a habit. Studies show that if you repeat something 90 times, it becomes a habit to you. We use this constantly in the training of our children, don't we? We keep having them repeat and repeat and repeat, particularly when they're young. To let it become a habit. There is something that God thinks is so important that He is reminding us every week to do. You must think it's important, right, God? What is so important that He reminds us every week about? Ezekiel 20, verse 12 says, "Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between them and me, that they might," what? "Know that I am the Lord your God." What does God choose to remind us about every week with the Sabbath? He wants us to remember that He is the Lord our God. It's not so much the Sabbath as it is the God of the Sabbath that He wants to remind us of with the Sabbath, right? Every Sabbath, the reason He made the day holy at creation is because He is holy. And the Sabbath is to be a weekly reminder of who He is. The fourth commandment makes it very clear why we are to keep the Sabbath day holy. In fact, it begins with the words, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, or for this reason, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now let me ask you something. If it takes 90 times for something to become a habit, how many times does it take before it becomes a custom or a tradition? God wanted the keeping of the Sabbath day holy to become even more than a habit. He wants it to become our custom, even to the point of becoming a tradition. Notice what the scriptures tell us about how Jesus kept the Sabbath. So He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. It was the custom of Jesus to go to the synagogue or church on the Sabbath day. He didn't wake up on Sabbath morning and debate with himself or his family about whether or not he was going to go to church. It was His custom. And customs are something that we do almost spontaneously, almost without thinking. It's customary for us to wake up and eat breakfast, right? We don't question whether or not we're going to eat breakfast. It's our custom. We're used to it. We don't think about it. We know when I get up in the morning, I'm going to do this. Now, if you were the enemy of God, what would you do to get people to forget that God is Lord and Creator and Savior of our life? At least one of the ways is to try to do away with the Sabbath, the weekly reminder of who God is. He didn't do this in one swift move. He's much smarter than that. Rather, He set up a set of circumstances that took place over many, many years until it actually looked like it was a good thing to do. Until he gradually removed the reminder that God had established to help us remember. To really get the full picture of this, we need to spend a few minutes together looking back at history. The evidence in Scripture is very clear that the apostles continued to keep the Sabbath as they had always done, even after Christ's resurrection. In fact, the apostles continued to worship and preach on the seventh-day Sabbath for many, many years after Jesus ascended to heaven. The Bible speaks of Paul and his companions when they visited Antioch. Acts chapter 13, verse 14. They went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Just a few verses down in verse 42, 44, we read, "When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." In fact, we find that it was Paul's custom to worship in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Acts 18, verse 4, "He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." There's no indication whatsoever in the Bible of a change of the day of worship. The apostles continued with the custom that they had lived with all of their life. Nowhere in the New Testament or in the Old Testament or anywhere else in the Bible is there a mention that there would ever be a change in the day of worship. It would have been the lead article in every New Testament book if, in fact, Christ had changed the day of worship. Psalm 89, verse 34, quite the opposite, says, "I will not alter what my lips have uttered." Not only did God utter these with his lips, he wrote them with his fingers on tables of stone. I don't know of anything else as important as the commandments that God wrote with his own finger. He put them on stones they would last for eternity. Scholars from various Sunday keeping groups acknowledge this. Catholic Cardinal James Gibbons once wrote, "You may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday. One will search the scriptures in vain for the authority for changing from the seventh day to the first." Clovis Chapel, the Methodist, concedes the same point when he says, "The reason that we observe that almost all churches throughout the world celebrate the sacred mysteries of the Lord's Supper on the Sabbath every day, every week." Now, somebody missed a slide in there. There it is. This is Clovis Chapel's report. One will search the scriptures in vain for the authority for changing from the seventh day to the first day of the week. There literally is no biblical record of that whatsoever. It's just not there. And now this quote from Socrates Scholasticus, a 5th century historian. In the 5th century, he wrote these words, "Almost all churches throughout the world celebrate the sacred mysteries of the Lord's Supper on the Sabbath of every week. Yet the Christians of Alexandria and at Rome, on account of some ancient tradition, have ceased to do this." And so we see a change beginning to take place. Other historians record that the Waldenses, the Albigenses, the Celts observed the seventh-day Sabbath right down through the Middle Ages. The practice is well documented in modern times by Christians around the world. Many church historians place the date for the beginning of the change of the Sabbath somewhere between 70 AD and 135. Between two very bitter battles against the Jews when the Romans came to crush down insurrections there in Palestine. To understand the cause for this change of days, we need to consider briefly the relationship between the Roman Empire and the Jews during this time. Dr. Samuel Bakayoki writes about this. He says, "Beginning with the first Jewish revolt against Rome, 66 to 70 AD, various repressive measures, military, political, and physical, were imposed by the Romans upon the Jews. The date 135, when the Jewish revolt led by Bar Kokhba was crushed by the armies of the Emperor Hadrian, Hadrian then made this statement. He prohibited the practice of the Jewish religion throughout the Roman Empire, condemning especially the Sabbath observance. This was not a religious law. This was a Roman emperor's law. And he was trying to suppress and crush out the Jewish religion. And so he forbids the worship of Sabbath. Especially the Sabbath. The mounting hostility of Rome against the Jews, coupled with the conflict between Jews and Christians, encouraged a rash of anti-Jewish literature, which in turn created strong anti-Jewish sentiment throughout the whole Roman Empire. Christians became increasingly sensitive about identification with the Jews, since Sabbath keeping tended to identify with the Jews. Many Christians began to minimize its obligations. Again, quoting from Dr. Bakayoki, he says, "Impressive indications suggest that Sunday observance was introduced at this time in conjunction with Easter Sunday as an attempt to clarify to the Roman authorities the Christian distinction from Judaism." Here we see Satan's sly efforts to twist and to change gradually. With this in mind, it's easy to see how Christians living in the capital city of Rome, of the Roman Empire, led the way in disassociating themselves from the Sabbath-keeping Jews. We don't want to be classified as Jews. We don't want to be oppressed. We don't want people attacking us thinking that we are Jews. It's interesting to note how Paul addressed the church in Rome. There in that Roman church, as he was writing the book of Romans, he says, "I'm talking to you, Gentiles." And so we see that the church in Rome was not made up of primarily Jewish converts, but of Gentile converts who had worshipped most of their life worshipping on Sunday. And so it was very easy for them to say, "We don't want to be considered Jewish." And they move away from Sabbath keeping. But why was Sunday chosen rather than some other day of the week? That's a good question. And it really goes back to their roots as pagans. They had worshipped the sun god on Sun's Day for centuries. The Roman emperors had even presented themselves as sun gods, stamping the emblem of the sun on their coins and their buildings and demanding worship of their subjects. Some theologians believe the church saw an advantage in compromising with paganism. By adopting a few pagan customs, the pagans would convert to Christianity more readily, and the church would grow. It would also benefit the empire by uniting its subjects into one great religion. And so the emperors themselves started promoting this idea. For centuries, Sunday was celebrated not as a holy day, but simply as a holiday. And then both days finally became holy days. We read from the Apostolic Constitutions, Book 7, page 23, that Christians were not the only ones who became careless and gradually compromised their faith. The erosion of the purity of the Apostolic Church stood firm and pure, but when the second and third generation Christians came along, we see evidence of compromise and apostasy. Dr. W.D. Killen wrote, "Between the days of the apostles and the conversion of Constantine, rites and ceremonies of which neither Paul nor Peter ever heard crept silently into use and then claimed the rank of divine institutions." This drift into compromise was accented by the first civil Sunday law passed by the Roman Emperor Constantine On March 7 in AD 321, while he was still a pagan, before he had been converted to Christianity, he legislated, on the venerable day of the sun, let the magistrates and people residing in the cities rest. Let all the workshops be closed. In the country, however, persons engaged in agriculture may freely and lawfully continue their pursuits. The next step in making Sunday keeping an integral part of Christianity was taken by the church in Rome in the Council of Laodicea. It made the first religious law concerning the keeping of Sunday, and this was 325 years after Christ. Sylvester, the Bishop of Rome, changed the title of Sunday to the Lord's Day. At the Council of Laodicea in 364, they made another law. Christians shall not Judaize, keeping Sabbath, and be idle on Sunday, but shall work on that day. But the Lord's Day shall be especially honored, as being Christians shall, if possible, do no work on that day. If, however, they are found to be Judaizing, which means keeping the Sabbath, they shall be shut out from Christ. And in spite of all this, there were still Christians worshiping Christ. In the 6th century, Pope Gregory denounced as the prophets of Antichrist those who maintained that work ought not to be done on the seventh day. It's important to keep in mind that the Bible was not available to the people during those years. The Bibles were locked up in monasteries because they were very, very scarce. They were all handwritten. They were copied by hand, word by word, letter by letter. And it took a lot of time. It took a lot of cost to produce Bibles. So the people simply had to depend upon what they were taught in church. And tradition easily replaced the scriptures. Few people really knew the truth as it was taught by Christ and his disciples. After the 6th century, the Sabbath truth lay almost dormant, hidden under centuries of tradition, very closely examined to find out what the scriptures taught was hard to do. But a few scholars, a few religious leaders began to study. The people had accepted what had been passed on for centuries to them, not questioning whether it was fact or fiction. Centuries passed, and finally the Protestant Reformation broke out. They began to question many rites and traditions that had supplanted the teaching of God's Word. The cry of the Reformation was the Bible and the Bible only as our rule of faith. Many, like Huss and Jerome, paid for their fidelity to the Bible by being burned at the stake. Today we join the practice of the Reformation. We say we need to be true to what the Bible teaches. What we need to be doing is following God's Word completely, 100%. What God taught is important. We don't have the excuse the people had for thousands of years when they didn't have Bibles to study. Today you can get a Bible for $2 or $3. It's one of the cheapest books out there. It's available in nearly every language of the world. And God, in the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, placed a call for his people to come back to the worship of God as our Creator and Redeemer. Let's read his invitation there in Revelation 14, verse 6. It says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and the springs of water.'" Here is one of God's last day prophecies, saying that we as God's people need to come back and be reminded of the worship of our Creator God. What did God leave for us to be reminded that he is our Creator and our Redeemer? He left the Sabbath. It is to be the reminder. It was instituted before sin reared its ugly head on planet Earth. And the Sabbath will also be celebrated after sin is forever banished from this earth. Listen to what the Lord has to say about this in Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Throughout all eternity, God's people will celebrate the Sabbath together with God. Does it not seem reasonable that if the Sabbath was celebrated before sin came into existence on this earth, and if we're going to be celebrating it throughout all eternity once sin has been eradicated, that God's people should also be celebrating it now? There was a time in Earth's history when the people thought this earth was flat. In fact, when Columbus took his ships and sailed west from Spain for several weeks, his sailors were extremely frightened. They were certain that they were going to eventually fall off the edge of the earth. Had the people back then only taken what the Bible taught and had looked into it, they would have discovered this text in Isaiah 40, 22. It is he who sits above the, what? The circle of the earth. God wrote that 2,000 years before Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And if they had read it, they would have known. It's not a flat plate that we're sitting on. It's a round circle. It's the earth. Because most people believed the earth was flat, didn't make it so, did it? Because most people have forgotten that God is our creator, doesn't make it so, does it? Satan has done a pretty good job of getting most of the world to forget about their creator God by obscuring the observance of the Sabbath and by bringing in a teaching of evolution, that there is no creator. Most of the world now believes it. Today, most of the world wants to believe that we evolved over millions of years, not that we were created by a loving God, but in spite of themselves. The seven-day weekly cycle comes from nowhere but creation. And every time they observe the weekly cycle, they are observing the fact that God created our earth and set up the weekly cycle so that we would have a reminder of our Creator, of our Redeemer, of our Lord, and our Savior. What a privilege we have to remember our God. To remember who he is and who we are. We have the privilege of being called his children and of looking forward to soon, very soon, Christ returning to take us all home with him. Until that day, let us remember each week as we come to church who our God is and what a privilege it is to worship him. Father God, we thank you for the weekly cycle. We thank you for the Sabbath that you gave us as a memorial of not only creation, but also of redemption, as you rested in that tomb on the Sabbath day and rose to continue your work early Sunday morning. Father, we just thank you that you love us enough to remind us. Remind us of who we are and of who you are. And may we ever faithfully worship you is our prayer today in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.